Hey, you heard of Urban Float? Well, if you like to relax and disconnect, then you should check out Urban Float in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, located next to Rosenfeld's Jewish Deli and the new Ocean Atlantic Shopping Center on Route 1 North. Guests of Urban Float get to relax and float in their own flotation pod filled with purified skin temperature water and 1,200 pounds of dissolved Epsom salts. The health benefits are profound. I love it. You can book your first float at urbanfloat.com. Just be sure to select the Rehoboth Beach location and use the code FIRSTTIME at checkout to receive 50% off your first float. Renew, refresh, revive at Urban. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Adam Howard, the hardest guest to get on the Rehoboth Social Podcast ever.
Ever.
Welcome, brother.
Thank you so much for having me.
Door's always open. We've been waiting for you for like a year.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Life is great.
A lot's changed, though, I will say. yeah. So, when I invited you to come on the podcast, when I sent you a message, I guess it's probably been like a year. You know, we both have that appointment style business.
Yes.
So it's hard to block off time to do anything when a potential possible appointment could be there.
Yeah. Well, there's that, and then the constant... You know, it's all a balancing act. It's am I picking the kids up today? Am I trying to go for a run? Am I this? And it's like life is all about a balance of, I'd love to hang out with Tom for 2 hours, but whether or not that's going to work or not.
It's just an hour. But I do get it. And the funny, what I almost love is the fact that you're dealing with this stuff now.
Oh, the kids. Yeah, the family, the kids. It's wonderful.
It's so awesome. I'm going to share a funny story that I always share with everybody and that I think is, you know, and I think you're going to experience or are already experiencing, is that I used to come down to the body shop. You're Adam Howard, the owner of the body shop down in Rehoboth, the little gym that could, which I think my hat's off to you because I know exactly how that feels just to be the little gym.
Yeah.
The little hair salon. And but we keep taking care of it, right?
We do. We make it happen.
We show up. But I remember when I would bring my kids to the gym. And the first one was David.
David, who's
now 14. And it's tough as a dad, especially as a dad that likes to run, that likes to go to the gym, who likes to go at like 5:30, 6 in the morning, because really, I have no time for the gym. If I'm going to go to a gym, it's got to be before I do everything else, which it takes place at 5:30, 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they start looking at you with them raccoon eyes. Where are you going? Going to the gym.
Can I come with you?
Can I come? Like, oh, no. Nah. Now you can't.
This is all I have.
This is
Give
it.
Me this.
Well, but then all of a sudden something else starts creeping in, like ego. Like, oh my God, start training my kid now. I don't know what he's going to be, but he's going to be awesome.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's for everybody. That's how I was feeling. And that's a little bit. But, you know, you want to be involved. You want to say, oh my gosh, you know, I'd rather my kid was going to the gym than like sitting home watching the iPad or something.
100%.
So I don't even know how old David was. He's 14 now. He had to have been 9, right? 8 or 9.
Yeah, he was young.
He was young. Yeah. So I would bring him in, and you were like all right with him. In fact, I think you even trained him a couple of times.
I did.
Yeah.
We did a lot of body weight stuff just to make sure his form was good. I mean, things that he could basically do for the rest of his life. I mean, yep. He could do in the morning. He could do before school. It was wonderful. It was great.
And I'll get back to that, but that taught me a lot, that body weight stuff. And then all of a sudden I had another kid, little Sandman.
Yeah. Game changer.
And then my eyes, bing, bing, where are you going? Where are you guys going?
Yeah, both of you. Yeah.
Going to the gym. Can I go? No. Fine. So finally I brought him, and then Adam was like, this ain't a dick. I was like, you're right, it isn't. And I felt bad, and I apologized to you.
Oh, Tom.
And I've apologized to you before that, and you said it didn't matter. And it is small, but... God damn it, we're trying, you know. We're fighting our lives away here, trying to keep everybody happy. And sometimes there's casualties.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes.
And the little body shop might have been the casualty of me fighting to keep everybody happy.
I think a lot more people were inspired by seeing a young man who's willing to get up, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym with his dad. That's really cool. That's really cool.
Well, and you don't realize that until you start having kids.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're like, oh, wow, I kind of get it.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So I apologize for bringing my kids to the gym.
Apology
but
accepted.
I also say thank
wonderful.
You for letting my kids come to the gym. And you did teach me a lot. And the reason I really wanted to have you on, to say thank you, just, you know, I just love guys that are just doing it, you know, working hard, showing up every day, riding a bike to work, you know, mm-hmm. It's a daily struggle, but we love it and we're passionate. And like Matt used to say, as long as you're doing something that you love, you'll never work another day in your life.
Yeah. And it sounds so cliche until you're doing it. You know, it's like, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's not many days that I second guess what I'm doing.
Well, and it's not, I don't call it hard work. I call it a life of fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I mean, our lives are full. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's what fulfillment means, to be full.
Right.
And I have a full life. I don't make the most money. I don't drive the best car. I don't get to do all the great trips and stuff. But the life that I'm living, as far as working and providing and being a part of a community, it's full. And you are that guy, too. I mean,
yeah,
I can't speak for your fulfillment, but I know that you're filling it up.
No. I'm right there with you. And I think that, you know, as you get older and you start to have these experiences with, you know, your wife and having children and travel and work, and you do find that, you know, as long as you're doing what you love, everything else comes together.
Right.
I mean, because if something's out of kilter, whether it's not a good relationship or work is stressing you out, whatever the case may be, it affects all aspects of your life.
Well, can you imagine doing something you didn't love and still doing all the stuff that you have to do?
Yeah. It's hard.
That would be horrible.
It's really difficult. I mean, you know, life as wonderful as it is, it's tough. You know, you're constantly, you're the time management, you know, aspect to children and the work obligations. I mean, I work 6 days a week, a year round.
Yep.
You know, so, but at the same time, you know, I also can pretty much make my own hours. So if I know that the weather's going to be beautiful on Wednesday and I want to take my kids somewhere, then I can do that. I can, you know, I can manipulate my schedule. So I'm very fortunate. I'm very, very lucky.
Well, I've thought about, you know, you coming on. We finally got this penciled in a couple, probably a month ago or something. But then I'm like, okay, well, what are we going to talk about? One of the things I want to talk about is, you know, Dewey going pink.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you start that?
Yeah. Yeah. So this was our ninth year. So Monty and I were, so his mom got re-diagnosed with breast cancer. She was a breast cancer
Monty,
survivor.
Monty, the owner of the Starbucks.
Yeah. Steve Montgomery.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've never met him, but.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's
such a great guy.
He's such a great guy. So Monty's mom was re-diagnosed. She was a 25-year survivor. The same time my mom was getting diagnosed and going through all the things that she went through. And Monty is a good friend of mine, and he's a client, and we were at the time running quite a bit. And so we kind of talk about things and blah, blah, blah. And his mom passed away, and we realized that we should, you know, really try to do something. His mom at the time was a big Susan Komen. She did a lot of fundraising for them, primarily through the Rehoboth Beach Country Club. And she thought that, you know, Monty could do some really good things using the Starbird and keeping it local. So that's why we went with the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition. And, you know, it basically was just like, you know, with Monty's affiliation with the Starbird and his wonderful staff and all the great people that come together, all of our friends that are sponsors, we were able to turn this little event that we just kind of threw together into a huge, huge thing. It's a really big deal. We've raised over, I think, including this year, it's going to be like $650,000 for Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition. It is no joke. It's unbelievable.
You always hear people, well, someone just said this, that they were wondered how much of that money got to actually go to research.
Yeah, you know, that's always a constant struggle. And so the cool thing with something like the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition, especially when it's raised in Sussex County, it stays in Sussex County.
Okay.
So even though, like my mom, for example, was treated at Penn, she's at University of Penn, and, you know, they do so much research there. And of course that costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's also like, you know, Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition, they do everything from buying wigs to, I think they even pay people's utilities. So like say you're a single mom and you've been diagnosed with breast cancer and you physically can't work, someone like the Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition could come in and financially help you out. I mean, so they do real things.
And I think people just think that, oh, that money just goes to some lab scientist looking in a microscope trying to figure it out. But there's a lot, multifaceted ball of that, issues that come with that. Just like, you know, maybe not being able to work or having money for food. And so that's amazing.
It's amazing. And it's cool because, you know, they just do really, have really great programs that I think a lot of people don't realize until either they're sick themselves or they've had, you know, a family member or a friend go through the process. Then they see, like, I mean, like just transportation, getting to, you know, some of these treatments. Absolutely. And then you're feeling terrible. I mean, there's so many aspects to someone getting sick. And I think the Delaware Breast Cancer League does a great job. And I think Monty and I just love the fact that it stays in Sussex County.
Well, I think it keeps getting bigger every year, right?
Oh, it's insane. It's insane. I mean,
it was 2 weeks ago?
Two weekends ago. It was two Saturdays ago. It was
unbelievable. What weekend does it fall on? Is it always on the same weekend?
No, so it's typically the first weekend in October. And sometimes that ends up being Columbus Day weekend. It was just weird this year. It was not Columbus Day weekend because that was just this past weekend. So it was the 5th this year. But you can always count on the first weekend in October.
Something around the 1st.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, it was incredible. Like, you know, Monty's staff and all of his, you know, his employees and the people who volunteer their time. I mean, the event is just, it's incredible. For them, you know, Bethany Blues feeds like 3,200 people.
Wow.
I mean, it's insane for them to be able to pull off what they do.
That's crazy.
So for something to operate so flawlessly, really, I mean, relatively speaking, it's a huge undertaking. It's unbelievable.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody said thank you, but thank you.
We've got a lot of thank yous. People really appreciate us. It's incredible.
I don't
know
if I've ever told you thank you for that, but thank you. I appreciate it. Well, and the other thing I wanted to talk about, talking about where money goes in that, that was just a conversation I had.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the other cool thing, Tom,
too. Not a nitpicker or
No, it's cool. But it's pretty neat the way I think Monty, because of Dewey Beach and because of, you know, he just wants full transparency.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool. So when you see, we do a thank you ad in the Cape Gazette, and it's really nice because I'm pretty sure from day one, because of Monty wanting to have such transparency, it literally itemizes all of our expenses and the, you know, sources of income. And you see that net money goes right to Delaware Breast Cancer Coalition. So, I mean, you're talking, you know, all the, you know, registration fees, all the corporate, you know, sponsorships, they all go into a big pile. And then here are all the expenses. And then this is how much
you get. Well, I think some people think that, you know, you say Bethany Blues feeds 3,200 people or whatever it is.
Right, yeah.
They probably get paid for that, and they should.
You can't
give everything away, but they organize it. They get it together when a group of people comes and they get fed. That's important. It doesn't mean everything is free.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just how it's working.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do it for a great, great price.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Listen, I'm not even smart enough to have that conversation. Thank you. It's awesome. I love what you guys do down there. But what I really want to talk about is, and I think that when I saw you the other day, I mentioned to you, you know, as a father of little kids, it's tough to keep them in the nutrition.
Yeah.
It's a struggle.
It's a constant struggle.
Well, and even when I saw you the other day, I saw you gave your kids a little bar. I'm like, that looks processed to me.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on,
bro?
Yeah, bro,
it's in a wrapper.
What's in a wrapper, bro? Yeah. But it's tough, right?
Yeah, no, it is. It's unbelievable. And I, you know, I've always, with a lot of things, you know, with my clients, I'd always get the excuses and I'd always, you know, kind of say, yeah, you know, whatever. And then once you're in that same, you know, situation, then you start to like really appreciate the fact that like, look, you can't always meal prep. Your kid's not always going to eat this, you know? So
you don't always want carrot sticks.
They don't, you know, as nice as that would be. So my wife and I she is unbelievable. She has off tomorrow. So Tuesdays and Fridays she has off, and she spends a good majority of the day Tuesday meal prepping and doing laundry and getting our lives together. So, you know, we can have a healthy lifestyle and be prepared. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if we know, for example, you know, they get a special treat after something and they've been pretty good. Like we explained to them, like, no, you had your special treat after lunch. Remember, you chose to have it then, so nothing after dinner. So, I mean, it's always, it's incentive-based, but it's also we're also very realistic, you know? Yeah. So it's, they're healthy a good majority of the time, but we also have to, you know, pick our battles.
What were you like growing up as far as eating? Did you have parents that were like really about healthy eating, or were you just like me? How old are you?
36. Yeah.
Not like me, I'm 51. Ah. But, you know, I mean, even at 36, I mean.
Yeah, no, I'm, you know, my parents were wonderful. My mom, you know, she was a divorced family, so she did, you know, pretty much all the food. And as I started getting into working out, she definitely really was excellent with it. I mean, like, she was the one, like, when, you know, carbs weren't, you know, the way to go, she was one doing cauliflower mash for me. She was always, you know, she was real big on, like, Adam's got to have chicken breasts, and she'd make me huge salads. I mean, she really embraced it. I mean,
why, you know, chicken breasts?
It's just an easy source of protein.
But I hear that a lot. Oh, you got to have chicken breast. But I've heard.
No,
that,
you don't have to.
I've heard chicken breast, but chicken doesn't even. Does chicken have as much protein as beef?
So probably per.
Doesn't in Minecraft.
per ounce, probably.
Listen,
not.
Your kids will play Minecraft one day, and you're going to go, I like how that. Minecraft does a great job in kind of explaining how food works.
Oh, really?
Have you ever played it?
Never.
So in Minecraft, you have to eat.
I have enough addictions. I don't need to incorporate video games.
Well, you have to eat, and you can eat like apples and carrots, or you can eat a steak, or you can eat lamb, or you can eat chicken.
Okay.
And each one gives you haunches. So like if you eat steak, it usually gives you, I think, 4 haunches.
Okay.
Chicken, I think, is 3. Lamb, I think, is 2 or 3. But then it gives you saturation. Oh. And the saturation, you know, is how long does it work for you and your body. Now, it's based on like 10 haunches. So it's clearly not precise. But it definitely gives you, if all you're eating are apples, you get health, you get some hearts, but they don't stay because healthy, an apple is more of a quick food, where a steak is the biggest one. Steak, you get 4 recovery hearts and then I think 4 haunches. So, or not hearts, you get 4 haunches. But it just, you know, it teaches you, and it teaches my kids that, you know, you can also make bread. Bread will give you 1 or 2, but they don't last long.
Right. Okay. So there's an actual connection with, it's a very big connection. Yeah,
You also have to grow the food. You also have to have milk, and there's different things. So as silly as video games are, Minecraft is a great game because it gives you a world to work in.
They see the connection.
They see the connection. And I don't think many people understand the connection with food.
Unfortunately not. Well, you know, the nutritional aspect to what I do is the hardest thing. I have clients that work really hard. They love coming to see me. They'll do anything I say in that hour allotted.
Exactly.
After that happens, I mean, they're on their own. So it's really tough. That's the most difficult. I mean, basically, if I could put people on, you know, set meal plans where I knew they had to stick with it and it was like 100% no other options, I mean, they'd see amazing results, but that's just not reality either. That's why I just try to find, you know, a balance or some sort of strategy that works for each individual client.
Sometimes working out, I know, and I said this to you when I saw you the other day, I said, you know, I had to, I was doing a lot of running. I'm getting old.
Right, right.
I mean, as much as I hate it, I'm getting older, man. I'm a young old man. And I can't run as much as I was. I mean, it's weird. You know, you'd ask me this 3 years ago. I'm like, I'm great.
You're like, I feel amazing.
But 51, I feel amazing, but I just aren't. I'm not driven to run like I was.
Right.
And what I learned is I was running so that I could eat poorly. I was going to the gym so I could eat poorly.
Yeah, but you know, that's pretty much a lot of people, though.
A
lot of people.
And when I figured out, for me, how to eat, whether it's forever or whatever, when I went to just supper, because I only just eat supper, all of a sudden I didn't need to run as much because I wasn't
trying to offset a bad diet.
Yeah. And yeah. I learned, and I recommend it for anybody, whether you agree, I think it was a great, because I really lost, I lost touch with why I was eating at all.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it. It was a habit. It was something I did at these times of the day. And they would like me to think that some, like eating oatmeal with honey and blueberries is super healthy for me. Not in the portion that I ate.
Well, that's there's so many different aspects to nutrition. You know, portion size is huge.
Portion's high. We don't like the we don't like the recommended portion.
No. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you can eat something that's incredibly healthy, but if you're eating 2.5 or 3 times the servings,
right,
it's not healthy, you know? And that's the hardest part with nutrition, is that there's so many different aspects. There's portion size. There's eating the correct things. There's eating the correct times. There's, you know, like, there's so many different, you know.
Well, and that's kind of where Minecraft has kind of been kind of cool, because you learn about saturation.
Right.
And what are you getting out of it?
Yeah, exactly.
And when I started going to just eating just supper, I started paying attention to the saturation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't going to have a Nicoboli for my one meal.
Right.
No offense to Nicobolis.
No offense.
Absolutely delicious.
Right.
But if it's going to be the only thing I'm going to eat, I need something with some haunches.
Yeah.
Haunch bar.
Yeah.
Saturation.
Yeah.
And that's what I learned. Now, I had breakfast this weekend. We go over to my parents on Sundays and I make them breakfast. We cook them all these eggs. But I had eggs. We had potatoes. And we had bacon. All good.
All good.
It was all delicious.
All good.
So I did have breakfast yesterday, but this week, oops, sorry. The rest of the week, I will have no breakfast. I will have no lunch. If I do eat, so what I tried to start doing is eating like we would have like 300 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get up, I'm going to go to the gym. Okay, I'll go look for some meat, you know, and right. We take off. And maybe you found some berries on the way to the gym, and I found, you know, I shot a cow on the way to the hair salon. We meet back at the end of the day. Nice. And we eat.
Right.
We fuel up our body, our vehicle. And then let's say the next day you go, I go to gym. I go, oh, I go to hair salon. And then we find nothing. We got no food. Well, our body says, no problem. I got some fat I stored from yesterday.
Yeah, I'm all good.
It's hard to understand how that works. Well, because we confuse what we need with what we feel.
Well, that's another problem.
That's bring up all the problems today, I guess.
Well, we're going to address them.
Let's dress them up.
Well, the thing is that, you know, there's also an emotional attachment to food for people.
Relationship.
Yeah. And a lot of people, unfortunately, have very unhealthy relationships with food. And in a lot of things, like we had to do at University of Delaware, we had to do a lot of nutrition courses, and they would talk about different eating disorders and things like that. And they pretty much, you know, said that the main reason were these eating disorders is because people felt like their life was completely out of control.
Mm.
And nutrition and eating was one of the ones things they had 100% control over. So it makes complete sense if you think about it, whether you're, you know.
You think you have control over it.
Yeah, like, yeah, you think you do. Yeah, I mean, whether it's overeating or not eating or whatever the case may be, it's interesting when you go, like you talk about, and this is how we ate 300 years ago. It's interesting when you go completely old school and just say, like, why am I eating right now? Am I eating because I'm hungry or because it's 8 a.m. and it's breakfast time? Am I actually hungry? When's the last, you know, like, so I've been doing the meal restricted eating for quite a while now.
Intermittent fasting. I call it back to reality.
That's the buzzword right now.
Back to reality.
Well,
when did we become so damn entitled to so much food?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think we had all these habitual meals that, you know, I think that, and it's cool. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like, the social aspect of getting together and grabbing breakfast and doing all that stuff is super cool, but at the same time, I think when you really sit down and think about, you know, what we truly need, you know, from a caloric intake, I mean, I think you'd be probably shocked at how little you probably need.
Well, but that doesn't work great for, like, corporations and stuff. You know, they want you to, somebody would like you to believe that you need more food.
Right.
And maybe, you know, there's a couple of trainers around here that I've heard that suggest a 6 to 8 meals, small meals a day throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's great for building muscle and getting to an amazing physique.
Right.
But as just an average guy, just trying to live, you know, and feel pretty balanced, pretty solid throughout the day, you know, no crashes or peaks or
right,
stuff.
Right.
I can't eat 8 meals a day.
Right. Well, not just that, but
not even 6.
The cool thing about eating, nutrition, all the above, is that you got to just have to do what's good for you. You know, like, some people, you know, you'll talk to one person, they say, yo, bro, if you're not doing keto, you're wasting your time. And then you have some people who are like, I can't believe you don't eat until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And another person says, I'm going old school Atkins. I am just eating as much bacon as I want. But if you put a carbohydrate in my mouth, I'll smack you.
Well,
so whatever works for, I mean, I'm not here to knock anybody's, you know, whatever they decide to do, but I just know for me, you know, I decreasing my meal window has been really cool. I really enjoy it.
Well, for a guy like you, you know, a keto diet to me is extreme. It's like, that is when you learn how to use your weight and not lose your weight. It's right. About using the weight that you've built on. You know, if in our eyes, we're one thing, but in our body's eyes, our body's going, nice. Look at all the fat you saved up, bro, because this is survival.
Right.
Our body doesn't know we're living in 2019 and we're in clothes that don't fit right and we're fat. You know, 500 years ago, the fat guy was the big guy, the millionaire.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's the guy that's had the wealth. And if the food ran out, he would be the last guy standing.
He's good.
But in 2019, that don't work with our society. You know, we want to look thin. We want to be trim, which is fine.
It's totally fine.
But our body doesn't realize that.
Yeah.
Our body says, dude, you're not eating? Okay, well, we've got some fat for you.
We'll adjust. We got this.
Yeah.
A
keto diet for a guy, especially like that's maybe 15, 20, 25 pounds maybe over, and I'm not a professional at anything. So these are all guesses.
Mm-hmm.
But if it works, I'm going to take credit for it. But if you're 25 pounds or something like that, maybe, you know, allowing your body to feed on some of your fat to use your weight and not mysteriously lose your weight is maybe a good idea. For a guy like you who doesn't look like he's got much fat on him, you look great, Adam.
Thank you, sir.
I mean,
thank you.
Making us other guys look bad. That's fine. I'm 50. I can handle it. But I can't imagine a keto diet is something that's probably going to work for you. You're not look like you're storing a lot of fat.
Yeah. So
you need more haunches.
You need more haunches. You need some steak haunches.
That's right.
Sustainability. Yeah. But you know, the longer I've been doing this, though, I really feel like, honestly, whatever works for people, you know, I really feel like, you know, I'll talk to some people and they can do something as simple as like eliminating alcohol and be like,
that's another category we can get into.
I lost 6 pounds this week. And it's like, yeah, dude, like that's what's called, like when they talk about the empty calories and you getting nothing from nutrition from alcohol, that's what's going on, you know? So like, I mean, whatever, you know, whatever people can do to adjust their lifestyle that they'll benefit from, I'm happy for them. Some people, you know, for example, get back to keto. Some people do keto just to kind of get them to a point where they can maintain a better, you know, eating, you know, habits or behavior. So, for example, they may need to lose that initial 20.
Explain then, really before, what is keto? Ketosis,
state of ketosis. So it's kind of like, I mean, for a lack of better understanding, it's almost like if you were to take something like an Atkins, so you eat a very high fat, no carbohydrate. And then you also eliminate fruits and things like that. So when you're in a state of ketosis, you basically are able to burn the fat and
you're basically feeding on yourself.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, it works for some people. Other people, I feel like for a long-term lifestyle, can you really eliminate, you know, carbohydrates and fruit for the whole rest of your life?
Like an extreme ketosis diet.
Right.
Like an Atkins diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like intermittent fasting where you kind of go back and forth. I always say there's a switch in your body.
Right.
You know, there's a switch that says, ooh, he's eating. We'll just feed on that.
Right.
That quick energy, that sucrose, you chew it up and your body said, nice.
Yeah.
We'll save the fat. Because in your body, it doesn't know we're 2019. It's just, did he get food or did we not get food?
Yeah.
So if you get some food, the little switch goes over one way and it says, all right, we're going to work on that.
Right.
No food. We say, oh, the body just flips the switch.
We shut this down a little bit.
So we feed a little bit on ourselves. So it's
almost like your reserves, basically. You're tapping into your reserves.
Yeah, and you're kind of going back and forth. And I feel like that the diet that I was living on, which was relationship with breakfast, a relationship with lunch, breaking, you know, I used to come out of the break room between clients. How you doing? You know, like it was a way to break the ice, you know, over breakfast or over lunch or coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a habit. It's like a crutch. Ooh, I got my sandwich that I can have this odd conversation with somebody through this sandwich. It'll make it easier. But I wasn't hungry.
Right.
The switch wasn't switching.
Right.
I was doing a lot of storing.
Mm-hmm. So you're only doing one, you're just doing dinner,
yep.
And then and that's it. Just now, dinner. Are you a calorie reduction as well? So like, for example, like, are you doing a 2000 calorie dinner?
I don't think I exceed 2000 calories for the day.
Okay.
But, my dinner usually is pork chop, steamed vegetable, steamed potato, butter, sour cream, salt and pepper. That's usually my diet.
Mm-hmm.
Or a steak or a chicken, but
so some sort of protein. And then they, yeah.
But like tonight we're going to have, like, Sam comes back tonight. So we're going to have tortellinis. So it'll be pasta, but I won't have a huge portion of it. One thing I've learned, and you probably found this, when you start restricting, you know, how much you eat, you really start restricting how much you want to eat as well. Like, I couldn't eat, like, since I don't only eat one meal a day, that doesn't mean it's like, I do it because of how uncomfortable I feel by eating a lot of food.
Okay.
So I'm not going to fill up on a lot of food at my dinner. I think my stomach shrank.
Probably, yeah, your body adjusts. I mean, the human body is pretty incredible. I mean, your body adjusts to its environment and whatever you put it through.
Well, and sometimes I
would
have...
Abuse or not abuse or whatever.
I would have a bad day snacking or a bad night snacking, just kind of go off the reservation, so to speak. And then the next day, I'd be like, oh, I got to go on a diet. And really, I just packed my intestines full of garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, give it a couple of days, you know, if things happen, nature takes its course, and then you're like...
Oh, I feel amazing.
I feel amazing.
Yeah. Back to lean Tom.
Shut the diet down. We're back.
We're back.
The going to just supper. I mean, like I said, I ate breakfast this weekend. I will eat an avocado during the day. I will eat a few things. I don't want my body to just think, now I only eat dinner. I just throw a few things in to keep, you know, the gears are turning. But it really, I'm not interested in breakfast at all. And I'm definitely not interested in lunch. Maybe like something around 3 or 4.
Right.
But it's been, I love that. I made 3 big changes in my life this year. Just supper, black coffee, and I'm in bed at night at 10 o'clock, no TV.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
3
all,
things.
All good changes. Yeah.
They've been life changing. I mean, the black coffee was huge. I was taking a lot of sugar, and with the cream and sugar that I was putting in my coffee. That guy that I just did a podcast with prior to you said he lost 85 pounds by going to black coffee.
Isn't that insane?
That's insane.
Yeah, I know. Well, see, I try to – so when I talk to clients and I'm like, you know, because I basically do black coffee every morning, you know, just regular black coffee. And it's funny because people's look on their face, they're like, oh, they just can't get away from the sugar and the cream. And that's where the problems lie, because anytime that you can look at your diet and say like, hey, where can I shave away, you know, 100 calories a day or so off of not really changing a whole lot of anything? And then all of a sudden, you can make some serious impact on your diet. Just little things about the day like that.
Well, not to cut you off, but I don't even think it's sometimes not even the calories you take in. It's that your body, to me, the body's always thinking. I always feel like there's always some sort of metabolism thinking going on. So, like, if you're bringing in a little sugar, it shuts down any sort of ketosis kind of state that you might even feel. You know, flirt with throughout the day,
right?
But when you stop the sugar coming in just a little bit, I think it allows us to burn more. So it's not like take in more, burn more. It's not taking in anything and burning more.
Yeah,
is there any sense of that?
No,
you know what I'm
saying. Yeah, I don't understand. I know exactly what you're saying. So, and we actually, I think we talked about it last time I saw you in downtown Rehoboth. A little bit with like Dr. Rhonda Patrick and some of those. I mean, she's, if you want to get into the nitty gritty, she's so good. She's brilliant. I mean,
she'll change your life if you watch a couple of her videos.
You listen to a couple of her. She has Found My Fitness, the podcast, and she's also been on Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss multiple times. But she talks about, it's not just the, I mean, when she gets into the circadian rhythm and like what's happening in your body, like when we immediately wake up and we're releasing the cortisol, and then as we go to bed, you know, release the melatonin. And it's like, by eating throughout the day when you're not supposed to, it disrupts those things. I mean, your body's an amazing thing.
Absolutely.
So by doing things, I mean, she does talk a lot about black coffee. So she basically says, so the black coffee, we can't say that it affects, you know, that initial spark. So for example, if you're having coffee at 6 a.m., is that when your meal window starts? And they're saying that if you add cream sugar, it certainly does. So it is like a game changer with, you know, it helps a lot when you're trying to do your time restricted eating, you know, getting a little caffeine in.
Well, and somebody was saying, oh, I can tell I'm in ketosis. I can taste it in their mouth. It
gets a little like metally, like alkaline.
But the other day I was like, I feel like I might be in ketosis. Okay. I'm feeling a little blah.
Well, that Dr. D'Arestino, he's been in Tim Ferriss's books and stuff like that. He's incredible. But him and his wife will literally go around and, you know, they'll test themselves like before or after meals. And he's no joke. I don't want to live like that. That's crazy town.
I mean, how awesome do you want to be? But
yeah,
that's
next level.
I do like that. I do like the topic of all that because it's interesting and it makes me go, humans can really fuck up a lot of shit. You know, we really can get in between just being a human and then throwing like people trying to make money, which is great.
Yeah.
Business, you want to sell bread. We went to Norway, and if you go to a grocery store in Norway, it's very interesting. You have white bread, whole wheat bread. That's it. You have, if you want to buy a frozen pizza, you have a cheese or you have an, I think it's pepperoni and maybe a supreme. One brand, one pizza, that's it.
Keep it simple.
There's not 15 brands of pizzas. I mean, the grocery store in Norway is about the size of like a Wawa. You know, you got your bread, you got your milk, let's get the same simple things. So I get corporations and trying to make money and fine. But if we break it down and keep it really simple and you listen to it like a Rhonda Patrick, even like just how our, what is it, not our, our lipids, our HDLs and... Help me.
Wait,
my brain is freezing. I'm having a brain
fired
freeze.
Fired up.
Starting to back up. You know, when we go get our yearly test and it tests our...
Oh, the cholesterol?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know why that just left my brain. But even listening to her, she talks about how, like, you know, our cholesterol changes throughout the day. Yeah. Especially, like, your cholesterol after a big workout is going to be much higher than it was prior to the workout.
Yeah, I mean, our body is incredible. It's unbelievable. I mean, like, so she will talk about, like, say, for example, if you had breakfast and you say you have your two eggs and your bacon and blah, 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 because of our circadian rhythms and the way that we metabolize things differently throughout the day, if you had that same meal at 8 a.m. and then you had that same meal at, say, 6 p.m., our body metabolizes differently.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Well, and I think it's also based on what we've taken in. So our body is like, it is incredible. And at 6 a.m., it's probably like, okay, we're running low. Or this is a more energy-based meal. Mm-hmm. We're going to use this meal. Whereas you eat that same thing at 6 p.m., we're like, okay, we're going to probably store more of this. You know, right. We know what time of, you know, the time of day, how much energy we're going to be using that time of day. So that's probably a meal that would be stored more as fat.
Right. So I pretty much incorporate, so what I try to do with my clients, like in a perfect world, so anywhere from, depending on what their situation is, 16 to 20 hour fast. And then, and that meal window is anywhere from, you know, 4 to 6 hours perfectly. And then, I try to do almost like a hybrid. So it's like your final meal. So say your dinner time or your last meal, whatever it is a lean source of protein and vegetables, however you want them. So basically you're eliminating the carbohydrates from that last meal. Cause I mean, it makes sense. Like, you know, carbohydrates are our energy. We don't need carbohydrates at 7, 8 o'clock at night,
right.
You know, like that's, so, That's what I usually suggest. I mean, because that way it gives you a little bit more freedom and flexibility. You're not in this box of like, if you're not eating keto, then you're screwing up. Or if you're not eating, you know, low carb, high protein, you're screwing up. It's more so just eat healthy, true, real food, and just try to eliminate the carbohydrates in the evening. And then, of course, you know, avoiding alcohol as much as possible. I mean, if you just go by just that alone, you'll see significant results. I mean, it really is incredible.
I still struggle with sugar.
At 9 o'clock. Seven times more addictive than cocaine. Seven times.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with coke. Sugar, though, has got me.
It's worse than coke. It's seven times worse than cocaine.
If someone's going to eat sugar, do you say, well, at least try to keep the portions small?
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to sugar, portion size is huge, obviously. Yeah. So, I mean, and you have to know yourself well enough to know, like, I would probably avoid it just because of my personality. Like, I know, like, if the train's off the tracks, like, just watch out. You know what I mean? So, but I do come across people who have the personality to say, like, oh, I can have a little square of this and I'm good. That's all I need. I'm like, all right, well, good for you if you can do that. But I just
a square.
Well, you know, whatever that unit is.
Nugget.
Yeah, little. But I just avoid sugar. I've been lucky where I just, you know, chocolate doesn't really do it for me. Like, I'd rather eat a bag of grapes than me sit there and eat chocolate or any sort of sugary kind of treat. I'm crazy town.
Well, that's why you look the way you do. I'm sure it's got its own demons.
It does. It's a constant
amazingness
struggle.
Carries a demon everywhere you go. Hey, amazing man, what's going on? Extra conversations. Probably high five. Amazing man. Yeah, you know, it's the worst. I try to think if I cut out sugar, I could be at another level. I'm not far. What? I'm like 160 feet.
What's your sugar of choice, or what's getting you? Or just
bro,
across
it's
the board.
Not good. It's pretty much anything sugary after 9. I'm just, it's like a.
Oh, after 9 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay, I got a good tip for you.
Okay.
Okay. Brush your teeth. Try it tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the other problem is that I'm not.
I know it sounds silly.
I'm not unhappy.
Well, hey, man.
Life
is all about balances. If that little bit of sugar makes you happy, have you tried doing it during the day? Like midday?
I don't like sugar during the day.
Okay, so it's a night.
It's a nighttime demon.
So is it a habitual thing? It like calls you around 9. You're like, hey, buddy, come eat some of this.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm coming on. Here I come.
Well, in some respects, you can just say like, look, I don't give myself many vices. Let me just have a little sugar here. I mean, look.
That's what I needed to hear. That's why I brought you here. I needed you to tell me, go for it. Because.
Justifying the sugar.
I bought some new jeans. I bought 33s. They fit.
Look at you.
That's not bad, right? 33. I mean, some people would slap the shit out of me right now if I was moaning about. But, you know, I do. I get away with it because I'm able to exercise. And I'm not running, but I started riding. I've been doing a lot of writing. It's starting to get a cold. I'm starting to really have one of those sit down moments with yourself where you're like, where are you going to go next couple weeks here? Because I want to get back to running, but I just, it's mental. I know if I ran, I could run.
Oh, yeah. You'd be great.
Absolutely. It's just mental.
As far as what? The concern for just.
Well, I'm like, I don't like that road I have to run down now. I don't. It's so boring, that 250
where do you
feet.
Go? Where do you go?
I live by the trail. I run the trail. I mean, I
have you
in
tried
paradise.
switching up that environment a little bit? Like maybe, I know it seems counterproductive, but you know, like drive to the Gordon's Pond and then hit that aspect of the trail. You know,
no,
like
I agree. I've done that too.
Because sometimes just switching up, you know, it's unbelievable. Like you could even drive to downtown and park at the end of the boardwalk and just do the boardwalk. It's absolutely beautiful. We're so fortunate that we have all these amazing spots so close that might like re-energize you and say like, wow, I missed running.
I just need to do it.
Yeah.
You know what it's like. All of a sudden you start, oh, I don't know about curls. I'm not doing those curls anymore. Whatever.
Right.
Legs or squats. Or like, but it's just the head.
Yeah.
The head's not our biggest fan, is it?
It's not, unfortunately. Why? But at the same time, though, once you get that run under your belt, you feel amazing. Right. And you'd be like, why did I miss this? So, you know, why did I not do this for such a long period of time?
What do you, so how long have you had, you have the gym. How many years have you had it?
It's been 15 years.
That's funny.
Crazy. Yeah, it's been a really long time. Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, it has its own challenges, of course, you know. But like we were discussing earlier, I mean, I'm so fortunate. I mean,
do you still have the thing upstairs?
Yeah, studio upstairs, yeah. Yep. So we offer group fitness as well as, you know, just the normal kind of fitness center. We're definitely, I guess, I mean, what would you consider us? A boutique-y style gym? I mean, we're kind of, and I hate to use that term, but I mean, we're just like, well, we are a full service gym, but we're obviously much smaller. I mean,
you're not competing with some of these other places.
No, and nor do I want to. I mean, I like, you know,
I don't even think they want to.
Well, the thing is, I'm kind of known as like, I do a ton of personal training, which is wonderful. I love working with people one-on-one, doing a lot more small group fitness, which has been really cool. So like if you get, you know, 2 or 3 of your friends and you wouldn't necessarily want to do a one-on-one, but you don't like group fitness. So that's been really popular. But yeah, I mean, we're like 2,700 square feet downstairs and we're about 1,700 square feet upstairs. And we definitely feel a need for the people who are in downtown Rehoboth and do not want to go to Route 1.
Well, I feel like, and this is something I can say, I feel like as much as we are different, I feel like we're a lot alike in the aspect of, I feel like you're going to start doing something that's going to be more tailored toward kids.
That probably wouldn't. I mean, That wouldn't surprise me. You know,
it I just feel like it's like you have a gym, you have kids. Now it's going to be about what do you want to do with my kids? And I feel like it's going to be like an exercise class with young people.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree.
I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just feeling like that as a dad is that's where
it's and probably
I would
inevitable.
Be
yeah.
as a dad with kids. I would be interested in being doing something like that. Yeah. If you had like. I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just saying if you did this, I'd be like, oh, I'd like to maybe. Yeah. Like something that I could bring my son Sam to that, you know, even a class that even involved the parents and kids, you know, that worked together.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool. Because I'm sure you're tired of chasing like being open all night. 24-hour gyms.
No, I don't want to go that direction. No,
it seems like everybody wants it, and then you do it, and then like nobody uses it. It's like
it's tough because you know the people that want that. I don't think. I mean, I can appreciate everyone's schedule. You know, absolutely. Being different. I totally understand. Some people wake up at 3 a.m, raring to go. I get all that, but when you start thinking about like. You know, the liability, the staffing, it logistically, I just don't ever want to go that direction. And I think, no pointing fingers or stereotypes, but I feel like you can't be as hands-on when you have a facility that's open 24 hours a day. Well, you have to be on all the time.
And I had a guy on that has a gym that does that. Mm-hmm. And he was up all night looking at his iPad. Who was in the gym?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm in bed at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's like, it's.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have a really good balance. I have just wonderful employees. Anytime that I'm not there, I'm not thinking like, oh my gosh, what's happening at the fitness center right now? I mean, we keep that like it's a good balance of it. It's not, you know, crazy as far as my demands. But, you know, it's obviously, you know, requires attention, you know, and I just can't involve myself.
Well,
in
I started
that
doing
that much time.
Chair rental here.
Uh-huh.
You know, for a long time I employed employees, you know, commission based, but I was like, ugh. And now we do chair rental and mm-hmm. I only I'll only work with folks that really have some skin in the game.
Right. So you like 1099 or something like that.
And they do, you know, they just rent the chair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to worry about booking them up. I don't have to worry about building their book.
Sure.
And we're all in it to win it. And it's a great combination of people and it makes it, I don't have to worry. They all have a key. I don't have to worry about it. And it's a lot better.
It is. But it's funny though, like how like, you know, you've had the salon for a long time. I've had the fitness center for a long time. I'm still constantly trying to figure it out. You know, like I'll you know, try to have a couple trainers and it'll work great. It'll be good. And then, you know, sometimes things change and then, you know, it's like, but I just know that for myself, I just need to, you know, be the best personal trainer, best, you know, owner, whatever you want to say, manager. I mean, so that we just have a nice facility and people are happy and they keep coming back.
And, you know, I started doing this podcast because it was, you know, there's always that guy that wants to start a gym. And, you know, we see it a lot more now with Instagram and, you know, these people that have basically built a gym in their garage and they're training. Yeah. And they're inspiring people through Instagram and
it's
little
great.
Videos.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's all good. But, you know, there's always the person that was like, God, I'd like to open my own gym, but I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, financial insecurity or, you know, family or whatever. And it's, I like to, you know, we know you're alive and we know you got the gym. And it's always fun to hear that story that I just did it. Went for it, you know, maybe you were a trainer somewhere. And that's kind of why I started the podcast is that, you know, exposing the bridge that people take or walk across to get to kind of, get to that life of fulfillment, you know,
right,
not just, I remember Carlos said, what do you want to do? You open a salon to work at for the rest of your life or you open a salon to sell one day?
And
funny. I said, I think I opened it to work at for the rest of my life. And I think I kind of like, you're the same, you know, we don't,
I think so. I mean,
we don't open small businesses to flip.
Yeah. Well, and good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, if someone wants to buy a salon, it is for sale always, but
the body shop is for sale.
Yeah. So the body shop.
Are you making an offer?
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah.
I don't sell it. I don't do this to sell it.
Yeah, exactly.
I provide a place for me to work.
Yeah.
Daycare. You know, I can bring my kids.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, you know, some people I think like the grind of the Monday through Friday, go in the office, punch the time clock. They go in at 8 and route at 4, you know, whatever the case may be. But I just don't think, I just don't think I would enjoy that. I really like what I do.
We've all done it.
Yeah, I just, man, this is all I've ever known. I mean, I basically went from college to this, and I'm just fortunate that, you know, I'm still able to keep what I do and raise a family and, you know, be a good partner and husband, and, you know, it's great. It works out well.
Well, and I think people that think that, first of all, that you, if you own your own business, you're a millionaire. That's far from the truth. People say, oh, well, you can't tip the owner. I'm the brokest one here, you know? It's like...
That's awesome.
You know, yeah. don't get confused. I mean, just because I own the place doesn't mean I'm a millionaire.
Right.
And we also, you deal with a lot of different other kinds of issues. You know, when you work for the man, you know, you go to work and you get told what to do, and it's easy. You just do what you do.
Right.
Easy or not, but I mean, you know where you're going.
Sure.
With like a small business, you're like always wondering, okay, what's my next move?
Yeah.
You know, what are they doing? Not that I'm paying attention to them, but, you know, like when I was talking to the guy from my past or the previous podcast, you know, he's in that digital media. I mean, it's right. Always where are we headed? You know, I know with doing this podcast, I try to post it to like an audio boom, but there's 19,000 other podcast places.
Isn't it crazy?
And you're like, should I do it there?
Yeah.
What hashtag do I use? What's my next hashtag?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, hashtags and ads alone will drive me crazy.
Right. Right.
I was going to do a shirt. I was showing you this other shirt, but it says it's the at symbol with a circle with, what did it say? With the word Mo in it. Atmosphere. All night. I was staying up all night the other night thinking, atmosphere. That'd be a great shirt.
I'm all over this.
But is it a shirt that I want to make? I mean, you know, it's like so many opportunities, especially when you own your own business. You can do whatever you want.
You can literally, and that's the, that's kind of like the blessing and the curse when you're in your own facility. You can try things, and sometimes they home runs. And other times you're like, wow, that didn't work out, you know?
What about when you're, as your kids get older, I'm sure there's like, I don't know, your wife and your schedules, but as a small business owner, I'm always, you know, when all shit breaks loose, well, you can take them, can't you? Because you own your own business.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is that... So my wife's a nurse, so obviously she can't take our kids to work. Right. That's not a thing. But the funny thing about that is, like, I mean, obviously if, you know, really hit the fan and something needed to be done, I could obviously bring the kids to work. But my issue being owner, operator, wearing many hats is that I'm always with clients. So it's not like I'm just sitting behind the desk at the fitness center twiddling my thumbs. It's like I am booked from 5:30 in the morning until sometime in the afternoon. And so we haven't really had that issue yet. We've been really fortunate as far as like,
oh, you will. You
know, oh, I know it's coming. I know it's coming.
And you know what? There's a lot of great, you know, my kids, I'm the same way. I'm with clients. I'm right. Just like you. I'm not lifting weights, but I'm cutting, you know, I got something to do.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But you know what? It's a great lesson for your kids, or for my kids, at least. It's been a great lesson. It's like, daddy's working. Go find something to do. Do it quietly.
Right.
Go fold towels. Right. Go make coffee. Right. Go shake hands. Do something. But this is our business. This is my business, our business as a family. This is what we do.
Right.
And they're like, you got it. And
that's awesome.
They, you know, my kids will come, can I get you a cup of coffee?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But they've learned, you know. Yeah. Now they're still, they've gone off their out of their minds a little bit lately because they don't hang out here as much. But it's a great lesson because this is, you know, we have a business. It's a family-owned business, even though daddy's here. But this is our family.
Yeah.
And you represent us. And you can't act like a knucklehead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just not when you go to Adam's gym, Sam.
Sam. Yeah. No, you know, the kids love going to the gym. They love it. I mean, they're at that age. They're, you know, 4 and 2. And so they still think, they see like the big balls, you know, so they see the exercise balls and think it's
boing.
Like, yeah, soccer balls. And then my daughter is hanging from, you know, the Smith machine bar. I mean, like it's not quite
awesome.
It's not quite.
It's awesome is what it
go
is.
Go sit behind the counter and behave yourself yet.
But so this now here we come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point you're like, oh my God, stop being a maniac. And at the same time thinking, I love these guys.
Oh, so much. Yeah. It's constantly like they're crazy, but I wouldn't want anything different. It's so cool.
Oh man, what a great conversation. You know what? I've wanted you on this podcast for so long, and finally I got you on here, and It's been a great chat.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
I love having you on. You are absolutely one of my favorite people. There are, there's a group of people that I know, and then there's a group of people that I call solid, and you're one of those.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
You're just a solid guy.
We've always had such nice conversations, and we've got a lot of history.
It's nice to be part of a community that's built up with solid guys like that. And I've always considered you one of them, and I appreciate you coming on this podcast. I always say anybody that comes on this podcast took an hour out of their day and hung out with me.
Dude, it was really my pleasure. It would have happened a year ago if,
busy's busy.
Busy's busy.
If you're like, come on either on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'd be like, uh-oh.
What's this guy doing?
Something's going on over there at the old body shop. So listen, what's your website?
Bodyshoprehoboth.com.
Bodyshoprehoboth.com. Yeah,
very original, right?
No, it's perfect.
Yeah. So, we have a Facebook, and we also have a Twitter at Reho Body Shop. I do none of the social media, so I'm not opposed to social media, but my younger employees are so much better at it than I am. So anything posted is usually thanks to Elliot or Jared.
I'm having to learn a bit of, I like social media. I post my food and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But
sure.
I'm learning
these ads
and hashtags and junk. But this Instagram story, people really apparently really dig it. So we've been having a lot of fun with that.
I'm like that weird mix of like I'm a dinosaur and I kind of don't want to do it. And I feel like because of how efficient I have to be with my time, like it's such a time suck. I'm on there and like, my wife may tag me on a cute picture of my daughter or something. The next thing I know, I'm like looking at stuff and I'm like, I've been on here too long. But no, it's kind of like one of those necessary evils. I get it. I know it's super cool. And it's a great way to advertise and kind of promote your brand, but I don't do enough of it, man. That's why I got the young people.
Well, but I think living life is a great example, and I think that people catch on to that. And I appreciate you. Yeah. And maybe not physically. I may be jealous of you physically, but I appreciate you as a guy living, raising kids, and working hard.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you so
come
much.
Come back. Tom. Maybe you come back on the Full Sin podcast where we do you drink coffee?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's a fun podcast.
Yeah. I'm in, man. Let's do it.
All right, Adam. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Adam Howard from The Body Shop coming on the podcast. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, bud.
See you.
Bye.